In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2, he says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he has made the worlds. That being kind of an introductory of what I want to talk about this morning is about our faith. It's really a controversial subject, one that I've somewhat changed my point of view about and how I go to view it. You see, there's been for a long time where I was very staunch in my belief that God doesn't talk to us today, that he doesn't send us feelings today, and you know, I don't know how I feel about that really whenever I stop to think about it. I want to talk to you though about a subject that we will call the great faith. It comes from the book of Matthew. It comes from a story there that we find of a centurion. And if you know kind of the background of what has happened up to this point is, you know that Jesus has just now ended what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And as you look toward the end of chapter 7, you see that the people were all astonished because of what Jesus was teaching, because he taught as one that had authority and not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He had gone through there, he was preaching with this authoritative power, and these people were astonished by how he was speaking. And as a result, he began to get a following, but right after the Sermon on the Mount, he began to go through the area, and we read about him now doing these miracles, where he has cleansed a leper, and has made this man clean. And then in verse number 5, there we have the centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 6, it says, of the centurion coming to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man of authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto thee, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You see, here this centurion is, and he has heard of Jesus as Jesus is going through the coast there of Capernaum. And as he went, here comes a centurion beseeching Jesus about his servant that he has. Now, if you think back as to what a centurion was, it wasn't a Jewish follower. This was a person of the Roman descent. And here he is, he's heard of Jesus, and he knows about Jesus healing people, and now he knows about his servant that he has, and he knows that Jesus has this authority about him. And so he goes to him, and he says, Lord, my servant lies at home sick, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come to you. I will heal him for you. He said, not so. He knew this about Jesus' authority. He says, I'm a man of authority, having people under me. And I know that just by you speaking your word only, that my servant can be healed. That word there I want to play on is, but speak the word only that he made. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You see, so many times today that you will come across people and They will say, you think the word of God, that's it? That's all we have today? That God doesn't speak to you anymore? Because a lot of times today, whenever you go and you talk to someone and you use the word of God as your method of studying with someone, and they will say, well, that's not what I feel in my heart. That God didn't lay this on my heart, that's not what I was taught. And they say that there has to be more to religion than just the word of God. But the word was all this centurion needed. He said, just speak the word only. My servant will be healed. Is the word of God enough for you? Or do you need something more? Some kind of mystical sign, some kind of power, something about it that an audible speech. I talked to one person one time and they said, I know whenever God is speaking to me because I will get goosebumps all over my body. I said, really? Man, I've been ignoring these signs all this time. You know. Other times I've talked to someone and they'll say, well, God spoke to me directly. I know that it was Him telling me to go and do this. Was it really? I mean, what did His voice sound like? You know, I'm always perplexed by hearing stories of God audibly talking to somebody. Yet others will say, well, God didn't actually speak to me, but he sent me a sign. You got others out there who say, well, I asked God into my life and I just didn't feel nothing. And maybe it's because the reason this belief is out there that you have to experience some kind of supernatural power or feeling is because of the false teaching that is so prevalent out there in the world. That you got so many false teachers that are on TV that push out these books that God's going to send you a feeling, that you're going to be healed, that you're going to do this or that, all because of your faith in Jesus. And then whenever you don't have this supernatural feeling come about you, you feel like you're lost, that you're hopeless, that, you know, I didn't get that feeling, so I must not be savable. Do we have to have some type of extraordinary feeling to sweep about us to know that we've been saved? Did God send these feelings? You remember when Jesus was coming in, as we would maybe say, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Here's Jesus. He's coming into Jerusalem. Here comes the King of Israel. And here the people are. They're so happy as they see Jesus coming in. They know what this means for Him to be coming in. And they're taking these palm leaves and they're laying them before Him. In John 12:13 it says, and they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. Think about what's happening here in this situation. As you consider Jesus riding into town on this donkey, and as they're laying these palm leaves before Him, praising the King of Israel for His entry into Jerusalem, because they know what this means. They know that He's supposed to be the King, the ruler. How happy they were for it. Y'all remember the story of what happens next? I know the Last Supper and everything is coming. Judas is going to betray Him. What happens next, though? If we have a timeline of events. Here they are. Jesus has come into town. Everybody's praising Him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Here He is, the King of Israel. But not many days thereafter, what were they doing? You remember as Jesus stood before Pilate, He was betrayed by Judas. And He stands before Pilate, and Pilate says unto Him, what is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? What were their response? The same people that were yelling, praise him, praise the king, Hosanna, here you are. What did they do? Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Did God send their feelings to him? I mean, one minute they were praising him, and the next minute they were saying, execute him, crucify him. Release unto us Barabbas. Where'd their feelings go? Did God give them their feelings? You know, our feelings change over time. You need only to look at the divorce rate in America to understand what I'm talking about whenever I say our feelings change. Because you got so many people who jump into a relationship because you love each other, and the very next month, week, year, 10 years down the road, all of a sudden the love is gone. There's no love anymore. What are you talking about? Where'd the love go? We can just turn on and off our feelings? If feelings can change like that, why do we need feelings to confirm that we're saved or not? What about Judas? I mentioned him a few times. What about him? Did God send feelings to Judas to betray Jesus? Look in John 13, verse number 26 and 27. It says, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now we have a little bit more to the story, don't we? Because here Jesus was, his triumphant entry. Now he is coming in there. He's with his 12. They're sitting around. This is the Last Supper. And they're taking of this bread. And Jesus gives it over to Judas. And Satan enters into Judas and he says, that you do, do quickly. Did God send the villain for Judas to go betray Jesus? Or was it that Satan had entered into Judas to betray Jesus? You see, here's what I want you to get from this. Let me throw it to you. That whereas I do believe that God can give us feelings, I believe that Satan can also give us feelings as well. Feelings of uncertainty, feelings of doubt, feelings of fear, feelings of not being wanted, not being appreciated, feelings like you're not saved. I believe Satan can enter into our hearts and plant those little seeds of doubt and cause us to stumble on our Christian walk, cause us to not be very effective for the Lord. Because I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't be preaching to y'all. I'm not worthy to do it, right? Because Satan can plant those seeds of doubt and despair. So is there more than the word? Someone says, well, you know, there has to be more than the word of God. And I say, does there? Does there have to be more than the word of God? You see, because we started off by looking at Hebrews 1, knowing that God spoke to people in times past. Unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us. Brethren, I want you to know that God has spoken to us in these last days and that He continues to speak to us. Remember, the centurion said, "But speak the word only and my servant will be healed." Brethren, God speaks to us today through His word. His word is still alive and well. But where's our faith at whenever we have to say, "Well, there has to be more than this"? Where are we looking to? What are we looking to? Are we looking to the world for some extraordinary answer? Some magical sign from heaven that's going to open up? You know, I've heard of things such as during the first century, whenever Rome was kind of on the brink and who was going to have victory in Rome, which general was going to take over, and you read about Constantine, and Constantine tells about a sign that he was given from heaven. That the clouds opened and there was a cross and there was some kind of Latin words there, but he says, "In this day you'll have victory." And then he goes and he rallies his troops and he says, "The God of heaven has told us that we're going to win this day." And not in those words, obviously, but you get the idea. He talked about this sign that he got, and you know, in Constantine, they went off and they won the great battle. And then by orders of Constantine, all of Rome would become Christian. And then those that wouldn't submit, they were marched down to the river at sword point. Hey, you're going to get baptized. There's no way around it. Does there have to be more than the Word of God for you to have your faith confirmed today? I remember sort of in my early days of as being a Christian, listening to Jerry McCorkle preach, and he talked about this woman who he was studying with. And she said, "Jerry, I wouldn't trade how I feel in my heart to God for all the Bibles that you could stack on top of each other." I didn't understand how to take that, but let me tell you how I understand it now. It doesn't matter what this word says, because I know what I feel in my heart. No matter how many Bibles you stack up upon each other and try to tell me what it says, it's not going to change how I feel in my heart. I wonder why that is. Romans 10:17 tells us, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, our faith should be in God's word, not in our feelings that we have. Can God send feelings? Well, I kind of already answered that. I believe that He can. But let me caution you. Let me caution you that you must be on guard about the feelings that you have, because as we know, our feelings change. One minute we think we love somebody, the next minute we don't. One minute I'm happy, the next minute I'm sad. Where do those feelings go? We have to be on guard for our feelings, because just as sure as we think God is whispering into our ear or laying something on our heart, perhaps it's Satan laying it on our heart, telling us this is what you should do. You know how subtle Satan is and how he works. For the centurion, he just needed the word of God. Now some speculate, and it's just speculation, that the centurion there of Matthew chapter 8 could be the centurion that we later read about in Acts chapter 10. Where there was a centurion, a man from Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You know, Jesus healed the centurion's servant. That centurion could have had his life changed there, for sure. And he could have went off worshiping God because of what Jesus did for him that day. It could be. We don't know, though. Speculation. So God could send feelings to you, yes. But let me build upon that caution. Whenever you think that you have some kind of feeling that's coming over you, that God is leading you this way or that way, that you should go here or there, or this is the thing for you to do, open the Word of God. Read it, study it, weigh out your feelings to what the Word of God is telling you. Don't sit there and say, well, I feel it, so it must be true, because sometimes it's not. I remember sometimes feeling like I'm right, I know that I'm right, and then a little bit later I wasn't right. Yeah. Then I say, oh boy, I knew I felt it though, I was right! But you know what? My feelings led me astray, and I wasn't, and it made me look silly. Mm-hmm. We don't want to look silly standing before God, because we say, but God, my heart told me I was right. Did your heart tell you that? What did my word say? You know, I imagine this might be how it is, since we're going to be judged according to His word, John 12:48. Does it agree with the Word? That's our test. You see, there are those today who have obeyed the gospel that feel like they're not saved. Why would they feel that way? Why is it that if you've opened up the Bible, that you've read, that if you hear the Word of God, that if you believe it, that if you confess Jesus, you repent of your sins, that you're baptized, and you continue to follow Jesus, according to the Bible, your sins are washed away, you're saved. And maybe sometimes we feel like we're saved, but then life happened, things happened in life, and a little bit later on down the road, you start questioning, am I really saved? Am I still saved? Where do those feelings come from? You've done what God has asked you to do. Why would He change it now all of a sudden? Could it be that Satan is all of a sudden saying, hey, you're not saved. You thought that you were, you're not. Don't let Satan play with you. Don't let him play with your emotions. You know, there are people out there who have never obeyed the gospel, yet they feel like they're saved. They say, I believed in God. I know in my heart that I'm saved because I believed in Him. Countless number of people believe that. But let me ask you this. And they will say whenever you're talking, well, I know because the feeling that I have in my heart. And you say, yes, but you never obeyed the gospel. And if we read the gospel here and it says this is essential to salvation, what does it mean? Where did their feeling come from to confirm their salvation if they never obeyed the gospel? Could it be that they never obeyed the gospel and Satan was saying, hey, you're good. You're all right. Yeah, you got that feeling. Because I believe that's exactly how Satan works. You get right with God and he plants those seeds of doubt that you may not be right with God, because he doesn't want you to serve God to the fullest. Or yet you don't obey the gospel and you go through life and you think that you're all right just because you have that magical feeling. Is it according to the Word of God? Test it. Lay out God's Word. If it's not according to the Word of God, then change it today. Don't go through life trusting in your own feelings, but trust in the Word. Believe in the Word and what it says. That's the best way to guard against false teachings. That's the best way to guard against Satan. Whenever he sends you feelings, test it to the Word of God. Trust in God's Word today. Test it. Make sure it agrees with God. Don't allow Satan to enter into your heart and your mind today.